Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you made one of the things that God wants us to be able to deal with very, very well is something that I want you to pay attention to. Amen. In the book of 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says that the Spirit speaks expressly. Now, the Spirit express says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Amen. The Spirit is speaking expressly. That what? In the latter time. I believe that we are in the last days. Do you know that? Yeah. Everything is showing that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And in part of the activities that mark the last days is that many will depart from the faith. That means that many will turn their backs to Christ. And the main reason why this will happen is because they will be listening to another voice. Hallelujah. It's called deceiving spirits. In fact, the Amplified says seducing spirit. Demons teach. So demons also teach doctrines. Amen. That is why a good church must teach God's doctrines. Because if Christians don't know the right doctrines, they cannot be able to tell what is the wrong doctrine. But my emphasis is on the fact that the Holy Spirit speaks expressly. Okay? The Spirit speaks expressly. Somebody say expressly. That means it's very emphatic and very clear. Very clearly that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. And they'll be listening to deluding spirits, seducing spirits, deceiving spirits, and doctrines of the devil. So how can we make sure that we are not victims to the spirit of deception? Somebody say the spirit of deception. The spirit of deception. There is only one source of all deception, is the devil. John 8, the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. So anytime you see deception at work, there is only one demon behind it, Satan. One of the things that you can see with people who are demon possessed is that they lie a lot. When I say lie, not the one that we all do. How many of you have lied before? I'm number one. Hallelujah. Especially on mobile phone. Where are you? Oh, I am just in the office. Meanwhile, you are now leaving the house. Where have you reached? Oh, 5 minutes, I'll be there. Meanwhile, you just left the house. It's all lies. But then, demon-possessed people have the ability to lie to the level that is very strange. They lie about everything. And they can fabricate stories. They can misrepresent facts. They can misrepresent issues. They can make you see a white thing and call it black. That is very demonic. And sometimes when you follow a demon-possessed person's way of guidance, you will be so deluded, you'll be so deceived that your whole life will be going the wrong direction. I want to say that there is a spirit of deception. Amen. And the purpose of that spirit of deception is to mislead Christians so that they will depart from the faith, so that they will turn their back to Christ, so that they will be lost. Their soul will be what? Lost. And I want you to know that no matter what happens in your life as a Christian, at the end of the day, your soul must not be lost. Because if your soul is lost, you will not go to heaven. You can have all you want on this earth, and there is life after here. Amen? So if all you are thinking about is what to get here, you are already deceived. There is life beyond here. Amen? And that life goes beyond you to your children and your children's children's children. And that life goes beyond you from this physical world into the next world, whether you are going to heaven or hell. So at the end of it all, the Spirit of God helps you to always be mindful. This thing I am doing now, where is it going to end me up? Heaven or hell? Number two, how is it going to affect my generations after me? My children, my children's children. See, when you think about all that, your sense of judgment about the issues of life will be guided by the word of God. Because sometimes you will be willing to suffer today so your children will have peace of mind. Then get all you want, and when you die, you are gone. You leave curses, chaos, suffering. Some of you today, the suffering you are suffering because of what your father did without considering you.
Your father lived in ignorance because your father didn't hear what I'm teaching now. So we can't blame him. What about you? The things you are doing, your life is beyond you. Everything you do, whether you love people, whether you hate people, whether you destroy people, whether you live for God, whether you live uprightly, whether you live faithfully, everything you are doing is going to lead you in a particular destination. Amen? So the spirit of deception makes you think that, oh, don't mind them. After all, what? What have been twisting before? What will happen should happen. Wait till man don't see before. Don't mind them. I do what I like. So you do everything. You know, say life is only one. We have to enjoy it. No matter where I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. If I'll kill somebody, I'll do it. Before you realize, the spirit of deception is totally in control of your life. You are making all the wrong decisions. And before you realize, you are totally backsliding but still going to church. You know, we used to define backsliding as stop going to church. But there are more backsliding Christians in church than outside the church. Yeah. Including pastors. There are many pastors that are backsliding, totally departed from the faith because they have been taken over by greed, the crave for power, the crave for popularity. I know gospel singers that are in covenant with the occultic world because they want to be popular, they want to make money, but they are in church. They are backsliding, I tell you. Amen? So we're going to deal with the spirit of deception. But how do you overcome the spirit of deception? You must know how to hear the voice of God. Somebody say, hear the voice of God. Oh no, say it better. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, hear the voice of God. Because you see, most of you who know my voice, if somebody calls you on phone and says, this is Pastor Hubert, you can tell that the person is a liar. But if you don't know my voice, somebody can call you and tell you things in my name and you will act on it. Hallelujah. Yes. Many times I have called people who don't have my number. But by the time I said, how are you? They knew it's me. Many times. Hallelujah. So if you know God's voice and another voice is speaking to you, you'll be able to tell that this is deception. This is deception. And I want to say that one of the ways God will answer your prayers is by speaking to you. Amen. How does God answer prayers? Sometimes he answers by working a miracle in your life. Another way is to give you instructions and direction. Amen. Yeah, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said to Peter, throw your net and catch fish. And Peter said, I have toiled all night and I caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. So the fishes didn't jump into the boat. Jesus had to speak an instruction to him. And Peter said, at your word, I will let down the net. And when Peter did it, he caught plenty of fish. So some of you need an instruction from God. Hallelujah. Yes, Kenneth Copeland was poor until the Lord spoke to him. Number one, support the ministry of Ora Roberts. Number two, buy a parcel of land. Amen. When he bought that land, they discovered oil and gas on it. And the land was desert area in America. And nobody was actually interested in the land. It takes the voice of God for you to buy a desert land because there is oil on it. Amen. So some of you need God to give you an instruction about where you should be and where you should not go, because the enemy will plan disaster for you at specific locations. And God will also plan breakthrough for you at specific locations. And so you need to know how to be at the right place at the right time. You see, when you are at the right place, you meet the right people and right things happen for you. But when you are at the wrong place, you meet bad people, very, very, very bad people. And they give you bad, bad, bad experiences. So you need God's instruction. God must speak to you. And you see, every child of God must know how to hear God's voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep. He was referring to children of God. My sheep hear my voice. Do you see it? He didn't say the pastors hear my voice. So it is not only pastors and prophets who must hear God's voice. Amen. Me, I'm not a prophet, but God speaks to me all the time. Speaks to me about people, speaks to me about my life, speaks to me. And everybody I bring up in the ministry, the first thing I teach them how to hear God's voice. Because that is what makes you a man of God, not title. As for title, it takes you to a limit. Amen? You need to know how to hear God's voice. My sheep hear my voice. Have you seen it? And what? I know them and they follow me. If you don't know how to hear God's voice, you can't follow God. And if you're not following God, obviously you are following somebody else. Either yourself, the devil, or others. Amen? So I'm going to give you seven important ways that God speaks. Seven ways. Everybody say seven. Hearing God's voice is very easy. See how Jesus made it very simple. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Somebody say, I'm a child of God. I have a loving heavenly Father. And I have a right to hear his voice. Amen. If you have given your life to Jesus and you are born again, you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, God becomes your father. So the relationship between you and God is father and child. And every loving father wants to speak to his children. Amen? Amen. Hearing God's voice is not something reserved for only special people in the church. And you have to come to the place where people are not intimidating you in the name of they hear God and you don't. You know, there are some people think they are special because every day they come and they say, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord showed me this vision. The Lord did that. You know, before you realize, they make you feel like, as for you, you are very far away from God, and they are the closest people to God. I want you to know that God is your Father. And you have a right to go to him every time in prayer. And every time you pray to him, you are talking to him. And every time you finish praying, he wants to talk to you. Amen. One way to deal with the spirit of deception is knowing how to hear the voice of God. The second one is dealing with the spirit in prayer. So seven ways. The first one is the word of God. The word of God. Those of you are making it right. The word of God. What do I mean by the word of God? Anytime you take the Bible and you open, whether on your iPad, on your tablet, on your phone, and you start reading, God can speak to you from the word. Amen. It doesn't mean everything you read from the Bible on a particular day is God that is speaking. I'm going to be very quick, so you have to pay attention. Hallelujah. The whole Bible is God's word and God's mind. But which part does he want to talk to you today? Now, there is a possibility that you can take a particular scripture and make it God's voice for yourself because that scripture favors a particular decision you have already decided to make. For instance, if you have decided to marry a second wife, you can go to Solomon, okay? In 1 Kings. Or you want to take a girlfriend, for example. You can go to 1 Kings and see that Solomon had concubines. And he said, this is the word of the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that you can easily make the word say what you want. And that is what we call in theology manipulation of the scriptures. You are making the Bible say what, for example, I want brothers to give me money. Then I take my Bible and I go to Proverbs 11:24. It said, he who waters will be watered. And I said, this is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't need to ask him to give me money. I just tell him, go and read Luke 6:38. And then I go my somewhere. But you know that you are manipulating people with the scripture. Amen. People can easily manipulate you with the scripture. And when you go to certain churches, everything happening there is manipulation. And we already know that anywhere you see manipulation, there is one spirit behind. You know that spirit? So manipulation is different from inspiration. Hallelujah. How does God speak to us through the word? By giving you emphasis from a particular place in scripture. Amen. Yeah, you are reading the Bible and a particular portion of the scripture is jumping at you. It's coming at you. You put your Bible down, it keeps ringing in your spirit. It keeps coming back to you. It's like there is something about that scripture. You just can't get it off you. You try to forget about it, it comes back. It comes back all the time. Amen. Yeah, most of the time, God speaks to me more from scripture about my personal life. Sometimes how I get my messages is from the scripture. When I read the Bible, I just get up to a place and I stop. Because, you know, like my first book is coming out of about 9 verses. But out of that 9 verse, I got a whole series of teaching that has become a book. Because the Holy Spirit showed me things there that nobody else could see. Up to now, many people, pastors read a book and they said, we didn't know these things there. You know, God can speak to you through the word on every area of your life. So that is the first one. So you can tell the difference between when God is speaking to you from his word and when you yourself, you are manipulating the scripture. You have already decided to do the thing. So don't go to the Bible. If you have already decided to do it, don't go to the Bible. Amen. Because you are just looking for a scripture to support the wrong you want to do. And every bad thing you want to do, you can get an example in the Bible. That is why this book is God's book. Because God was not partial in writing the book. The bad examples of people are in the book. The good examples of people are in the book. Everybody you see, you come across in the Bible, except Christ, has a bad example. Abraham told a lie, doubted God, the father of faith. He doubted God when he had Ishmael. So you see the bad examples. David, a man after God's heart, the beloved of God, the greatest of all. He took somebody's wife and killed a woman on top. And God allowed it to be written. That's why hypocrisy is not good. You have to be yourself. Amen. Let people know you are not perfect, but you are good. Amen. There's a difference between being a good person and a perfect person. You have to be a good person. If you're a Christian, you must be a good person. But you can never be perfect. Because if you are perfect, then you don't need Christ to be saved. So much about the word of God. The second way God speaks to us is through the preaching of an anointed man of God. Every time you come to church and preaching is going on, out of that 1 hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes preaching, even today as I'm preaching now, God can speak to somebody. Or maybe God has already spoken to somebody. Out of that 1 hour preaching, a statement will hit you. And he said, how did pastor know I was going through this? And the pastor doesn't know. He doesn't need to know. The Holy Ghost knows. So every time you come to church, you have an opportunity for God to speak to you. Especially if the preacher prayed. And now here too, there is the two possibilities. A preacher can manipulate the whole church with scripture, in which case God has not spoken at all. But the second way is a preacher can pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? One, how do you want me to preach it? And every preacher can tell you that we already plan what to preach, but not every statement we will make is planned. Sometimes statements come out of your mouth, you're just wondering, why am I talking like this? But God is speaking to somebody. So every time you come to church, preaching time is a very important time God wants to speak to you. Out of the whole preaching, a statement will come to you, or a particular scripture will come to you. A statement, God will just say something. Like last year, July, those of you remember, during our prayer month, July, I preached from Ruth. How many of you remember the book of Ruth? Yeah, I preached from the book of Ruth. And the Lord just asked me, take the church through the book of Ruth and we preach. I talk about crisis during the time of the famine. And then Naomi lost her husband, lost the two sons. And then she had to go with Ruth back to Israel and how things turn around. But God was speaking to the church because from August, I saw a lot of that. But the word had already prepared me, so I knew where it will end, that it will end the way it ended for Ruth. From that scripture, I knew that the church were going to go through a season of famine and financial difficulty, but it was going to open a door for financial blessings to come into the church. I knew. Because when you remember that, what we did in July last year, you'll see. So sometimes when you are listening to specific preachings in church, you should know that this is not just a sermon which you close and forget. No. Sometimes some of you, the things you are going through now, you are wondering, oh God, where are you? I have preached to you about it. And you wrote them down, but you forgot. But the word of God comes to you from his word. Listen, God will not give somebody a word for you in another church. If you were God, will you do that? This is your church. So if God wants to talk to you, he will only talk to you from here. So if somebody tells you in another church, God has given him a word for you, you should question it. And most of the time, people have come to me that, they mention their name in a particular prophetic meeting. Most of the time, when they tell me, my spirit tells me something is wrong with that prophecy. A certain young prophet called one of my members and told him that God told him that his ministry is not in this church. Can God speak like that? So I asked him, why did you come to this church? He said he believed God wants him to be in this church. I said, there's a God that wants you to be in church. Can he tell you that your ministry is not in this church? Are you understanding me? Let me give you another example. The last Friday of December, I said the church, we should fast and pray. Do you remember? Okay, during the prayer, I told you that we're going to pray from a particular scripture. Do you remember? Who can remember the scripture we prayed from? Obviously, you've all forgotten. Mm-hmm. That's why you are always confused. Because that fasting was for 2018. It was a 3-day fasting. And on a Friday, I said the whole church should come. There were a lot of people were here. And we prayed into 2018. And when we're praying into 2018, we prayed from a particular scripture. And I was just explaining the scripture. We're taking it, we're praying. Amen. We prayed from Joshua chapter 1. I can tell you that a lot of things happening this year, I can see it from that scripture. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says that after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, arise and take the people into the promise. I talk about new beginnings. I talk about new dimensions. And I'll also talk about crisis. And I talk about funerals. Because God was speaking to Joshua when Moses died. Amen? It was necessary for Moses to die because Joshua's ministry had to begin. And Moses died because his time was up. Do you understand me? So sometimes when preaching is coming, you hear God's voice. In fact, most of the time when a preaching is going on, we all don't hear the same things. I've gone to program with Pastor Godwin, and then when we close, he'll be telling me about something that really touched him, and me, that thing really doesn't bother me at all. But me too, there is something the man of God said that was relevant to me because of either what I'm going through or what I'm believing God for. The man just hit me like that in a statement or a scripture so that God has spoken to me. So at the end of every service that you go, you must ask yourself, what did God say to me? Through this whole long talk that the pastor did, what did God say to me? Amen? It's not only when a man of God calls you forward and say, hey, I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. Then you say, oh, thank God, Lord, today. No. As I'm talking right now, God can speak to you. Yeah, as I'm talking right now, God can speak to you. God has spoken to me a lot hearing men of God. Amen? The third way God speaks to us is through the inner witness. The inner witness. Another phrase for inner witness is the inward voice. Inward voice. Everybody say inward voice. Say one more time. Through the heart. Inward voice means deep within you, you feel something is telling you something. Now, many times I've heard Christians saying, I was sitting there and something told me to get up. And as soon as I get up, there was disaster at the place. How many have heard this statement before? Or how many of you have said that before? That something was telling you that there's something wrong with the person you are dealing with. Maybe somebody wants to marry you. Now, nah, look good looking, very nice, but you are there. Well, anytime you see the man, your mind like him, but something is telling you that we can. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? This is how Romans 8 said. It said, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, 14. Let's read from verse 14. It said, for as many as are what? Led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry what? Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit makes you want to hear God as a father. As a father. It makes you feel you are not a slave, you are a child. And you are bold about hearing his voice. Amen? Look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So here, the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you. He's just bearing you a witness. A witness. That is what you feel. You feel like sometimes you sleep and when you wake up suddenly in the middle of the night, something tells you, get up and go and pray. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Or sometimes you wake up in a particular day, you are just there and you feel, don't eat today, fast. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes you get to your shop and you feel something. You just feel it. You sense, that's what I always say, I sense something. Or I perceive. Sometimes you see Apostle Paul saying, I perceive this. That is the inward witness. Give me Romans 9 verse 1. Sometimes too, it comes in the form of bad feeling. He said, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me what? Witness in the Holy Spirit. What is conscience? Conscience is an inward voice, isn't it? How do you feel when you do bad? Your conscience begins to what? It begins to condemn you. And let me say today that sometimes your conscience will not only condemn you because you sinned. Hallelujah. Your conscience can condemn you even when you want to do a good thing, which is not the right thing. For instance, traveling is not sin, is it? It's not a bad thing, but there is a day you can plan to travel, and when you wake up, you feel bad about the journey. All right? You feel within you that what you are doing is wrong. Hallelujah. That is the inward voice. Don't try that journey. You will have disaster. And then people say, oh, where was God? Why did God leave him? No. God tried to stop you and you didn't listen. Amen. Yeah. So anything you want to do after praying about it, one of the ways you check is how do you feel about it? If it's of God, number one, you will feel very excited about it. Number two, you will be at peace about it. Number three, you will be sure. You will be so confident about it. In fact, people will be discouraging you, but you will just know that this thing is going to work. Hallelujah. Yeah, you feel very confident about it. You feel good about it. But if it is not the will of God, number one, you feel bad. Number two, you are scared. Number three, you are not sure. You ask yourself, hey, this thing will it work? This thing will it? If you start asking that question, then you start going to people. What do you think? Don't you think this thing I'm going to do is work? If you are sure it will work, why are you asking me? The fact that you are not sure You are still looking for people to confirm. It tells you that you yourself, you know that something is wrong. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to do this thing. Very important. Never say something spoke to me, because that something is the Spirit of God. Oh, I was sleeping and I woke up. Something told me to go and pray. No, don't say that again. That is for childish Christians. You should be able to tell people the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Somebody brought me an offer of a land. The place is not a good place, but when I got there, I felt that I should buy it. That is God. That is God. Amen. Then you get to it, the land is a very good land. Everything, documents, everything is showing that it's genuine. Hallelujah. But you are getting that signal that don't buy. Don't buy. Don't buy. Then you push it aside. And so the documents are genuine. The documents are genuine. You go to Lands Commission, you check. Everything is genuine. But deep within you, you have this something telling you don't buy. You buy it and you realize that somebody too has the same document you claim to have. Because in Accra, that is very possible. Amen. So the inward voice. Everyone say the inward voice. All right. The fourth way God speaks to us is through the audible voice. So there's an inward voice, there's an audible voice. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. It said, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. This one was not an inward voice. It was an audible voice. Hallelujah. This is possible with every Christian, more common with men of God with prophetic ministry. Look at it. The Holy Ghost was even able to tell him the number of people and their agenda. Their agenda. They were men and they were three. Sometimes when you are ministering under the anointing, you hear the Holy Spirit audibly, like somebody standing behind you. I've heard that several times. That is very emphatic, very authoritative, and very specific. But hear me, not every audible voice is coming from God. So you have to know how to judge voices, because the devil can also speak to you audibly. In fact, when Jesus finished his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, the first voice he heard was from Satan.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.